Remember, we promised in the beginning that if you were willing, if you believed, if you decided, and if you took action, then you could expect certain results. Well, now then, we get the result of the action we've taken up to this point. Let's go to the bottom of page 83. Let's look at those promises again.
If we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door in. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we'll see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? Well, we think not. They're being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly.
Spiritual experience.
Sometimes slowly.
Spiritual awakening.
But they will always materialize if we work for them. You know, I'm looking for a perfect description of being reborn in my mind. And this promise is a perfect description of being reborn. I didn't think that way when I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. And in most of these cases, these things have happened to me. And this is the way that I feel and the way that I think. I am a different person. I died over here and become something else over here, which I thank God has given for us to be anyhow, is these things that you're talking about in the promises.
There's only one stipulation on these promises. You can have them if you're willing to work for them. Now, I got in a hotel or a hospital room not long ago to visit another suffering alcoholic, and when I walked in the room, one of the AA members was standing at the side of this guy's bed reading to him out of the big book. And I said, "Oh, great, I'm glad to see you reading to him out of the book." I said, "What are you reading?" He said, "I'm reading the promises." I said, "Did you read him what went before the promises?" He said, "No." And I said, "Well, how in the hell do you expect him to get them?" You can have the promises if you're willing to work for them. If you're willing to do the action necessary, then you can have the promises. They come after the action steps of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Now, I'm going to read them again. The reason I'm going to read them again, two reasons. Number one is I love the way I read them. But the real reason is that I'm going to add a few words to them. The words I'm going to add to them refer to a time whenever I was young, when alcohol was my friend, whenever it did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I could drink that alcohol and be Fred Astaire on the dance floor and the world's greatest lover in the back seat of a 36 Chevrolet. This is the way alcohol used to make me feel before it turned against me and almost destroyed me. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, I knew a new freedom and a new happiness. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, I did not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, I comprehended the word serenity and I would know peace. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, no matter how far down the scale I had gone, I could see how my experience would benefit others. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity would disappear. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, I would lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in my fellows. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, self-seeking would slip away. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, my whole attitude and outlook upon life would change. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, fear of people and of economic insecurity would leave me. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, I would intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle me. Whenever I took a drink of alcohol, I would suddenly realize that alcohol was doing for me what I could not do for myself. Now think about that for just a minute. You know, as a kid growing up, I was always on the outside of the crowd looking in. I always needed and wanted these feelings, but I never could get them until one day somebody gave me a drink of alcohol, and And all of these things began to become a part of my life whenever I was drinking. And I loved alcohol, and it did for me the things I couldn't do for myself, and I enjoyed it, and it was my friend, and I used it for a long, long time. But one day, alcohol turned against me, and the things that I was always afraid would happen in my life now began to happen because of the alcohol itself. And I didn't know I was an alcoholic. I didn't know I would never be able to recapture these good things from alcohol. In the last 4 or 5 years of my drinking, I spent desperately trying to recapture these good feelings, not knowing I would never be able to do it, and alcohol almost destroyed me. I came to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and you gave me a book, and in that book I found a little program. And I put the first 9 steps to work in my life, and one day I woke up to the absolute amazing knowledge that these first 9 steps were doing exactly the same thing for me that alcohol used to do for me when alcohol was my friend. Hell, no wonder I don't need to drink, because I get everything good from the first 9 steps that I ever got from alcohol, period. And the real amazing thing is this. So far, the first 9 steps have never turned against me as alcohol did. I've never been placed in jail because of the first 9 steps. Never been drugged through a divorce court because of the first 9 steps. Never vomited. Damn near did a time or two, but never really vomited because of the first 9 steps. You see, that's the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's why I don't drink. I get everything good, but none of the bad from the first 9 steps. Now, if you read those steps very carefully, or those promises very carefully, you'll notice that they all apply to the mind and none of them to the body. And if we've received those promises in our mind, then surely we have become entirely different people. We've probably undergone such a radical change in our personality at the end of step 9 that we have recovered from a hopeless condition of the mind and of the body. We've had a spiritual experience, a complete change in our personality by the time we're through with step 9, if we've received His promises. Now, if that's true, then why do we need to go any further? Many people will tell us that there's 3 more steps in our program, 10, 11, and 12, to be able to maintain what we've received at the end of step 9. And we don't really believe that's what they're for. There's another law that applies, a natural law that says nothing in our universe ever stays the same. Everything in this universe is in a constant state of change. It's either growing or it's dying. It's progressing or it's regressing. It's going forward or it's going backwards. We've made a tremendous amount of change, a tremendous amount of spiritual growth through the first 9 steps. But to maintain that would mean to keep it as it is. And you can't keep it as it is. We're going to have to continue the spiritual growth. If we don't continue it, we're going to start slipping back. And we start slipping back, the first thing that happens is we start having trouble with people. And that backs up, and next thing you know, we get sick in our head, and we start feeling resentments and fear and anger and etc. The next thing you know, that backs up and blocks us off from the sunlight and spirit. The next thing you know, we're drunk all over again. Let's look at the last 3 steps as growth steps more so than maintenance. Let's see if we can't find the words that show they are growth steps. Twice in the big book, once in Bill's story and once in chapter 2, he mentions a 4th dimension of existence that they never dreamed of. We've looked at the first 3. Now let's look at another dimension of living that we never dreamed existed, period. You can't explain it. You can't understand it. You can only feel it. Let's see if maybe the last 3 steps aren't designed for that purpose.
So this thought brings us to step 10. One thing that we did as a fellowship, we took the steps out of this book and the instruction on how to steps, but we took the steps out of the book and we put them on these little cards, and we also put them on the wall, and we read them at the meetings and how it works. And if you read them off the wall or off these little cards, it stepped in would say, continue to take personal inventory. We were wrong, promptly admitted it. It looks like on the surface of it that if you continue to take personal inventory, and if you were wrong, it was promptly admitted. And it suggests maybe that you would do that at night. Well, that's not in the 10th step, that's in the 11th step. And Charlie and I agree together that we don't get in trouble in bed much more at night. So what we need is a walking around step. And this step means a lot more than just what you read on these little cards or off the wall. So let's don't take our steps off the wall or out of these little cards. Let's take them out of the book.
We took the steps out of the book, put them on the wall. The mistake is we left the directions on how to work them in the book. And they're not up there on the wall. And we can hardly work the steps on the wall. Let's see what the directions are for step 10.
This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit.
We've had a spiritual experience. We've entered the world of the Spirit.
Our next function is to grow.
Not to maintain, not to keep as is, but to grow.
In understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfish dishonesty, resentment, and fear.
What step did we use to look at those in the first place? Anybody remember? Step 4? Okay.
When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them.
What steps did we use for that? 6 and 7, okay.
We discuss them with someone immediately.
And what step was that? 5, all right.
And make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone.
What steps were those? 8 and 9, okay.
Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
In other words, step 10, done according to the way the book says, is a continual working on a daily basis for the rest of our lives. Step 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Those are the steps that gave us the spiritual growth in the first place. I would defy anybody in this room to work step 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 on a daily basis the rest of your life and stay the way you are. You absolutely cannot do that. As you continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, you learn more about yourself and more about your character defects. As you ask God to take them away, they become less and less. As you discuss them with another human being, you learn more about yourself. As you make amends quickly, your relationship with the world and the people in it become better and better and better. If you work step 10 the way the book says, your relationship with God, with yourself, and with your fellow man will continually become better and better and better.